We are again and still in Genesis, but we're in the 27th chapter.
Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me a savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and shall seem to be a deceiver to him. I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go, let them for me. Go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also made him savory food, and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly, and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, Bless me also, my father. But he said, Your brother came with deceit, and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, your blessing shall be of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay there with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away. Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?
Comments? He had his hand started first before I even opened my mouth. Yes.
It's amazing. It's really amazing how much Baptist calls are counted for a father's blessing. But they do such a utmost deception like that. And I can't understand how fluently they did that and how much they paid as a price to do to get that firstborn blessing.
Yeah. Hector?
My question is, why would God honor the blessing if it was done in deception?
What was the question again now?
Why would God honor the blessing if it was done in such a deceitful way?
We'll answer that question.
I'm hit with how powerful our words are, that once spoken, we cannot take them back. They're out there.
I thought it was interesting that at this point in his life, Jacob doesn't say, my God, but he says, your God, to Isaac. It's not going to be until later when Jacob has reaped the result of some of this behavior.
Yeah, take note of that. It was real quickly he starts doing that, though.
Yeah.
Since at that point he's basically playing Esau, it makes me wonder if that was really how Esau was at the time. Because Jacob had to pretend to be Esau. So when Jacob approaches Isaac and says, oh, the Lord your God, help me quickly find this game and whatnot, is that Jacob is speaking with Esau's voice to try to make Isaac believe that he actually is Esau. So what does this say about Esau, too, that where he was in his relationship with God at this point in his life?
All right. Interesting point of view.
Over there.
My question is about Rebecca in the end of the chapter, how she all of a sudden turns and is thinking of the wives of, take a wife of the daughter of Beth and such as these that are of the daughters of the land. What good shall my life do me? So she's only worrying about herself or something in the end here? I'm kind of confused.
It will be answered in the next chapter. I'll tell you that much.
You wonder if the Lord himself told Rebecca what to do and what to tell Yaakov, because the Lord spoke to her when she was pregnant, and he told her that the younger would rule over the older. So it's almost like this is all
what
planned.
You just got through saying is the key to this entire chapter. We will have to go back and find out specifically, but I'll do my very, very best to let you know what it says, not in English, but in Hebrew. The Hebrew tells you very powerfully. Last week I talked about this, but I don't know if I really got the point across. All right. Any other comments or thoughts? I'll try to run this chapter through relatively quick. Not because it's not important, because it is important. But remember, how old do you think Isaac was when he was growing old and beginning to get blind? How old do you think he was? You have no idea? Last week I told you. Remember last week? He was a 1 and a 0 and a 0. 100 years old when his son Esau married at age 40. And it says he was 100 years old. The reason why you know that, because how old was Isaac when Esau and Jacob were born? 60. It says very, very clear. And so now at age 40, when Esau marries, he's 100. And remember what the last scripture says? It grieved both parents. Now, there's a reason why it grieved both parents. We won't go back there today, because that's not where we are at. We're going forward on this one. So it's about the year. We don't know exactly what year this is, but he's going blind. So it's around 492 Esau married. But now this is year about, let's say, 500 years. From what point? From the Pulut. I'm always going to ear in that point, because that's a real marking point, and God went out of his way at the time of Noah to name that point. And we have to keep that part in mind, and it's very, very important to do this. So we're at this 500-year mark approximately, which is not very long, and there are not billions of people on the face of the earth. All right? I remember when I was growing up, I think the world reached a billion. Well, way back in 1940s and 1950s, it reached about a billion people, you know. So it takes a while for thousands of years to go by to have an awful lot of people. There's an awful lot of death, wars, and things that take place. They wipe out an awful lot. And so, we want to keep that part in mind because, as I said before, in our world, the flood is out of our sight. Truly, it is not. We are still feeling and we are still part of the effect of the flood. That nothing has really changed. We are still receiving the mars and the scars and the damage that took place. But sometimes we don't think so. Because, you know, this flood a long time ago doesn't affect us. Now, verse 5. Very fascinating here. And Rebekah heard what Isaac said to Esau. This is the King James Version. And Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison. Now, what is one of the definitions of Rebekah or Rivka? You remember what I told you her name means? I'm sorry, what? Unhappiness? Not quite. All right. The ensnarer. The one that can snare somebody. All right. And that's what the name Rebecca or Rebecca, one of the meanings of the name is. This chapter kind of lets you know why she was named that or how she got her name later. Whether it was earlier or later, we do not know. But it's very fascinating to know it's called the one that ensnares somebody. Who did she ensnare? And Jacob. She ensnared, in a quote, both. Now, as we have to go on with this chapter, we need to know a couple more things. We know that Rebekah loved Jacob, and that Isaac loved Esau. Why did Isaac love Esau? I'm sorry, what? He liked his cooking. He was a very good cook. And it says there in the very beginning about why Isaac liked Esau is because his cooking loved his food. But of course, now who taught him how to cook? Rebecca, right? So it wasn't really a surprise that she could come up with and take two kid goats, two young goats, and kill them and make them taste just like the wild one out there. Don't ask me how, because I'm not a cook. And maybe Big Hector could figure it out. Oh, no, he'd just deny that. Because we don't know what kind of game it was that Esau was out and to get. More than likely a small animal, but bigger than two small goats. So you'd have to use two goats to make up that entire recipe and do whatever it was, and it was able to do it. Now, it's very fascinating here. He says, we see here in verse 6 and 7, where she said to her son, Jacob, behold, I heard your father say this. And he says, bring me the venison, I will make savory meat that I may eat. So therefore, she said, look what we're going to do now. I want you to hear what I've got to say, verse 28 and 29. Go get two goats and we'll do it. Okay? As we read about Rebecca, what is it we see? We may see in sometimes, because we read the Bible sometimes, and we see maybe there is a conflict between the parents. There was a hostility. There was bitterness or what call they call the word? Estranged. Doesn't say that, though, does it? Okay. Yes.
I see her as concerned for the future.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. This is the key answer there is what she said, and we'll get to there today. We'll have to go back a few chapters. But it's very, very important to know that. Now, Rebecca, let's see. Do you remember what Yahuwah said to Rebecca? Okay, let's go to Genesis 25, where this statement was made. Remember, Yahuwah made this statement. This is Devarim Yahuwah, Devarim Elohim. These are the words of the Creator of heaven and earth. Okay? Before we go there, this is verse 23. But you remember she was unable to have children, right? Okay. Now, Isaac did something. What did Isaac do? Okay. Why would he do this? I'm sorry, what? Promise had to pass from him to one of his sons. And therefore his request, even though Rebecca needed the baby, of course, to bring it about, his request was the promise has to yet to be fulfilled. Well, they've been married for quite a while now, and there's no children, no sons that come up. And so he made his request, and guess what? She got pregnant, right? And she had two kids. What was happening inside of her belly or her womb? They were fighting. And you think it was comfortable for her? That's why she went to Yahweh and said, "What's going on here? This is hurting me." And he said, well, in a sense, you have to deal with it. I don't want to make that as a smart remark, but you know, I'm saying what he says. Now, this is very interesting about a word. And verse 23, "And Yahuwah said unto her, two nations, two goyim of thy womb, and two," and it says, "members of people." All right? In Hebrew, that's not the word for members of people. In Hebrew, it means there are two gatherings of people in you. Two gatherings of people. Now, the reason why they don't use the word ami, they don't use the word people, they use the word gatherings. Remember, it's a plural word here in this case, because there's two of them. So there's two gatherings inside of her, and they are gatherings of people. Keep this in mind. And it goes on, and it says, they shall be separated from thy bowels. One gatherings of people, it's another plural word here, but it's not dual here. Now, so one of them is gatherings of people, all right, is going to do something, and it's going to be what says stronger than the other gatherings of the people. Does that make sense to you? It's a really unusual phrase in Hebrew. It's a very unusual location here. But he's not talking about Isaac's kids of Esau and Jacob. This is a prophecy that God is bringing forth and telling us that he's going, that these two sons, they're going to gather people together on their side, and they're going to gather people together on their side, and they are going to be at war. As much as it was inside of her belly, the gatherings of people. Now, move up to modern times. But not quite yet. Because I have to clear one more thing up. Now, it says here in your English, the elder shall serve the younger. That's not what it says in Hebrew. The word elder isn't there. The word is one that is mightier, stronger, and more. That's what the word elder is translated, should be translated into. Yes.
Yeah, because the Hebrew is rab, which is kind of where we get terms like rabbi and this kind of thing.
So you understand what she's saying? It is a different word. So don't get this thing of an older brother and a younger brother by a few, you know, minute or two separation. This is not the issue of the two separations in the sense that one is the firstborn and that second one is the secondborn. We don't worry about this. We have to hear what the Yahweh has to say here. And the next one is, and the younger, which does and can mean youth, but means the one that's little, the one that's insignificant, the lesser one. So we have a comparison. The one that is more compared to the one that's little, the one that is many compared to the one that is insignificant, the one that is greater compared to the one that is lesser. Who was lesser? Jacob. So the gathering of people, the gatherings of people, are these two goyims, these two nations. One of them is going to gather a greater number, a larger amount, with greater force, with greater strength, with greater power than the other one that could gather peoples together for the same thing. These are two, quote, prophecies of war. Not two prophecies of just two people, but prophecies of peoples coming together and going to war against one another. Let me ask you a question. let's move ourselves up into, what is it, 2009? Yeah. Most of you have this concept of, okay, here's Esau, and over here is Jacob. Which one of the two, modern times, however you perceive who they are, where they're at, on the face of the earth, who is bigger? Who is stronger? Who's the one that has more? Who's the one that has less? Jacob actually has less. Jacob has less. Listen to what took place. All right? Because the next chapter tells us who Esau gathered together with him. Who did he gather together with him? Ishmael. Who did Jacob gather together with? Laban? No, he had no one. He had less power. Remember when the war, we'll get there with Jacob and Esau? Guess who came with a military might to go against the weaker one? Esau. So this is what this is all about. As the prophecy will come to a conclusion at the end, not at the beginning. At the end of time, at the end of the events that take place, then the bigger one, the massive one, the one that's got more power, more people, more support. Even today, in this modern world, every nation in the United Nations is basically for Esau and his people compared to Israel and his people. Who is ready for Israel today? United States? Maybe not. It's going to start dwindling down, right? He's going to have less and less and less. Do you understand what I'm saying here? This is a prophecy. Now, getting back, it seems like it's strange. That's about the blessings. This was not a blessing that Isaac had a choice in. His choice was to bless whom? With what? The what?
The land, and the brother.
The what? And you can't undo what God has set in place. No matter how kind you are. Remember, Esau was not a military man. He was not a powerful man. Esau was just a man. Same thing with his father. Isaac really wasn't a man, a strong man, who went to war. Grandpa did. Isaac got in difficulty with people, what did he do? I leave, take the well. He didn't want any conflict. He really was a nice guy. You probably would like him if you ever met him. We only know, quote, of one mistake he did prior to this one. Now, so I have to ask yourself, what's going on here? You have to ask yourself, okay, what is this scene showing us? Is it showing us that they went out of their way to get a promise, a blessing from their father? Or what did Esau and Jacob know? Now, Shem by this time was dead. One of those two brothers, more than likely Jacob, recorded the death of Shem. That's why we have the date of Shem's death. Abraham couldn't record it because he was dead. Isaac could have recorded it. But we have, more writings of Jacob and his family down the line than everybody else's. So they were fully aware of who Shem was. They weren't a bunch of idiots over here in, quote, east or west of the Euphrates rivers, and it's one guy way over there in the middle of who knows where, and in between the rivers was Shem, as they didn't know who he was. Shem was the most influential, one of the most powerful and dynamic men that lived at that point in time. And people would go to him, and he would tell them and talk with them. He wasn't just a shut-up man. Because what did Noah say about him? But we won't go there. Because I don't want to waste time. That one, we've already went through that before. And remember, we're not far removed from the flood. Keep that part in mind. Now, interesting thing about Isaac here. Verse, was it 18? Yeah, when Jacob comes in, verse 18, and he says, did someone have a question?
I do. So are you saying that Isaac knowingly set himself up against the promise of God?
Yes, he knowingly set himself against the promise of God. There is no way. Who wrote this information down? Had to be either Jacob wrote the information down, or Esau. Say it, but no. It's like that one that says, in his heart, Esau knew what he could do. Now, in our minds, in the modern 20th century, that means, oh, no one knows what my heart's going to do. That's hogwash, because in Hebrew, it's not talking about kind of like secretly done. And in his heart, he began to publicly say, this is what I'm going to do. His heart became bitter, and he let everybody know that he's going to kill his brother. And how did Rachel find out about it? You know, the word came down. Now, we'll get to trembling here of Isaac in a minute. The reason why it says he trembled, we'll find out why. Okay? That's very, very important to know. Because there are three things about God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
You know, I was thinking about this earlier, and you're starting to hit it, and I think you're going to run with this a little bit. We always focus on the story as being about how Rebecca and Jacob conspired to deceive Isaac. That's how we see
that's
the story.
That's right, because it's written that way for our and?
But if you read the very early part of it, you're talking about how who knew this and who knew when and this kind of thing. Well, when you read the beginning of the chapter, Isaac did not tell Rebecca, hey, I'm going to have a big party and I'm going to bless Esau today. She had to find out about it secondhand. So who's deceiving who? Who's sneaking around against who? Is it Rebecca sneaking around against Isaac, or Isaac sneaking around against Rebecca?
Rebecca knew the promise. Why she knew the promise? And I say Isaac had to have known the promise because he had tried to sneak, in a sense, sneak around and avoid this because, well, Esau was a good cook. And Isaac really liked his food. Nothing wrong liking food, by the way. It's okay. God doesn't curse you for liking food. In fact, you know, he commands us to eat. Anyway, where was I at now? As he walks through this thing, it's very strange about Isaac. He says, first thing he says is, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau. Oh, okay. Now, what triggered? First thing we know is that the killing and the cleaning of the animal along with preparation of the food was way too soon. First clue. First clue that Isaac should and did spot. He wasn't an idiot. He spotted. The first thing was, you couldn't do that in that short period of time. However, Jacob lied and said, well, Yahweh brought it and blessed me with it. Next thing he questioned was, he doubted the story that Jacob had just told him and questioned if he was really Esau. Wait a minute. There's something here that doesn't fit right. That's the second clue. First thing he realizes, wait a minute, food's too soon. Secondly, you say you are Esau, but third clue, your voice doesn't match. So we have three things, real quick, that Isaac was fully aware of. Right? All right, now we come into the story and we say, wow, what a dumb guy. But when God wants his will to be done, what does he do? He puts the wool over your eyes. Puts the veil over your eyes. Play on words. What was happening to Isaac? Going dim. Okay. Physically we see that. Okay, you can see. What was happening here on the realistic place, it was becoming unclear. What was happening, what was going to take place, was going to be a veil. Physically, eyes going dim. Spiritually, Isaac, have no idea what's going on. And I'm going to conceal it from you. Because he loved Esau. So we have this deception. So ask me a question. It was a question that Hector asked. Why would God bless a deception? Why would God bless a lie? Why would God do the blessing? Which, if he did do that to us, what would we assume? That God likes us lying. God likes us deceiving, right? What did Jacob say to his mother? Do you remember what she said? He said, I will be cursed. She didn't say yes or no. She says, she didn't say, no, you won't be. She says, let the curse be upon me. All right? So she took the curse, quote, end of quote. We will see later on as we go down the story. Do my very best to wrap this up. We will not go into chapter 28. Anyway. Now, we have the story of Isaac coming in. I mean, Esau came in, and he grieved his parents, but married the two Hittite women, and so on and so forth. And then he comes in, and, well, first of all, we'll go to the blessings here of Jacob. That is, how is it, this question, what I said, chapter 20, verse 27 here. Here is, how is it here that we begin to question the blessings? Why did Elohim accept this action of Rebekah and Jacob? Why were there not a curse upon either of them? Or was there a curse upon them? They both knew that a curse was going to play a role sometime in the future. Elohim, was he overviewing, looking at, and monitoring this event? Or was he kind of like off in Neverland and wouldn't have paid attention? Well, we know this much. He was in the very beginning, when Rebekah was pregnant, was in the beginning of it. He started, he said, this is going to take place. Nothing will change my word, and nobody can do it. And Isaac, what was he going to try to do? Change Devarim Elohim. You can't do that. Alter the course of Devarim Elohim. You can't do that. Now, Isaac is known as the, God to Isaac is known as the fear of Isaac. Right? Now we figure out why it's fear. All these blessings have been given into him. And how the word bow down, by the way, means not bow down and worship. And a lot of times in translation, they use the word bow down, the same Hebrew word for worshiping, prostrating, and praying to God. No, bow down means what? That's what you do. That's all you do. It can be a different fast, different form, 99% of them. And I told you before why the Israelites called a stiff-necked people. Because they didn't bow their head down toward God. Humbly and respectfully honoring the position. Okay. And he said here, verse 29 here, and the people to Jacob, he said, let people serve thee, and the nations, or go ye, bow down to you, and be lord over your brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to you, and cursed every one that curses thee, and blessed is he that blesses thee. What did Esau do? He cursed. Oh, wow. All right. We won't go through this here thing. Let's go to verse 33, where we know that Esau came in. And verse 33. Very powerful statement being made here. What? Try to picture in your mind here, if you can. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. That word for Hebrew trembled means to shudder, to shake, to fear, full of fright, terrorized, scared. Why? Scared for himself or scared for Esau? No, I think he's more scared for himself than Esau. I'll tell you the reason why. And we'll get to there in a minute. He come to realize he could not overrule Devarim Elohim. And that he didn't hate his wife, didn't damn his wife, didn't curse his wife. He didn't hate Jacob, he didn't damn Jacob, he didn't curse Jacob. Right? Isaac didn't do those words did not come out of that man's mouth at any time. Okay? But he says, in the very last part at verse 33, he says, it's very, very, I got the bold letters here, yea, he shall be blessed. Can't stop the blessing. Why did he say he'd be blessed? Yes, he deceived. Yes, he tricked me. Yes, I was ensnared by him. However, why didn't he just stop it? I mean, if a father's blessing is so important, couldn't he turn around and give Jacob a father's curse? No, because it wasn't from Isaac. It was from the Creator of heaven and earth. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It wasn't just some ordinary dad. This was the one that's supposed to hold the line of whom?
Yosh, yeah, yes.
How could you, picture in your mind, how could, if you, women, how could you possibly picture in your mind where the person who will save all mankind could possibly come through a line that deliberately gave away his birthright? How could she, in her mind, say, how could he marry outside of where he's supposed to marry? Two big, horrible things. And you think she's going to say, oh, go ahead, bless Isaac, whoever you want. Oh, no. Because she knew what took place at the time of her pregnancy.
Isn't it giving a stingy God image if there's a blessing only for one child?
Correct.
What is that?
That blessing goes for only one thing, that's the line of the Messiah. That blessing that all men will be blessed through one seed, but the Apostle Paul said, only one seed will be, not a multitude of one. So the blessing of all mankind will come through that one seed. And so it's passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. So God made a choice every single time. God blessed whom to have a child.
So that was genealogical blessing.
But has no bearing.
But could there be a blessing, kind of minor blessing?
There was a minor blessing for him. It says what it was.
Esau.
Yeah, Esau. There was a minor blessing for him, and he will get one, but it's not going to be until the latter days. It's not going to happen. The latter days, it's very clear about that. See, where am I? I'm trying to speed this along. It says Esau cried. That really means crying. He really wept tears. He was very sorrowful. And bitter tears. That'd be bitter in the sense of angry one, but really hard, long, difficult cry. And it lasted for quite a while. You know, the book of Romans, Hebrew says, and the crying did not. All his crying, his supplication, his pleading didn't change the curse. Didn't change the blessing that was going to take place. Esau did not cry out against the birthright at that time, at the time it took place. But now he is crying because because the very blessings that Elohim blessed his grandfather and those of his father are not his. Lost it all. I'm almost finished.
I wonder if Isaac, you know, because like if you see your young children and you see that each of them have a different gift. But if you deceive the one, so to speak, by saying that he's the one that should get the gift rather than the other. Meaning, what I'm wondering is that if Isaac was raising Esau and telling him, oh, you're my firstborn, so you're going to get all this stuff. Even though he knew what Rebecca had said, he knew what God had said, that it was supposed to be for Jacob. So you raise this poor child thinking that he's going to get all this stuff, when you know in the back of your head at least that God has already decided who's going to get it and it isn't him. So he's kind of created this thing in Esau, whereas if he had raised it from day one, it's like, well, yes, normally this would be yours, but God has already given it to your brother. So if he had raised them that way, then Esau maybe wouldn't have reacted quite in the way that we see him react.
True, but it wouldn't fulfill the prophecy that was inside of Rachel's belly. I mean, a womb. Which has to be completed by God. Has to come to a conclusion by God. He's going to have those gatherings of people. We're talking military strength, people. We're talking military might. We're talking war here. We're not talking about, oh, you have more people than I do. Because that phrase of people's gathering against people, they will strive. They will go. And what was the blessing that Isaac gave to Esau? What was the blessing? Verse 40, and thy sword, you will live by your sword. You, Esau, the only way you're going to live is by war. And Esau and his gatherings of his peoples today in this world live by that same word. Was it a blessing or was it a curse? Acts, that part was a curse. Because why? Because Esau hated his brother. Now he says, now he will have, there will come a time when you'll break the yoke from off your neck. That's the promise that Esau will have. Jacob will no longer be on his back or on his neck or grabbing his heels. Okay? It's a major event in history, right? But the word of God has to be carried out, and the prophecy is there in 25th chapter.
You can see that God is giving the end at the beginning here, because it's right where we are now. We're seeing the working out of what happened here, and also all the oil that the Arabs have. It actually says the fatness of the earth.
Yes.
It's the oil and the riches of the earth, which is what the Arabs have.
That's it.
And it's perfect, because we know God is in control, even though we have this huge, mighty battle getting ready to
take place.
Getting
ready to go. Yeah. See, we cannot ourselves, no matter, I'm sorry, I don't know if I was just sorry or not. Okay, I'm going to be blunt with you. It does, in vain do you pray. If you pray that the house of Esau will not fight against the house of Israel. It's in vain. You can't prevent it. You can't stop it. And don't say, oh God, you'll hear my prayers. Please, I'll fast for 20 days and hear my prayer. That's in vain, because he already said way back in the time of Rachel. Now, who is the... She got her name, right? Her name was what? Ensnarer. Now, who really did the ensnaring? Yahuwah, the creator of heaven and earth. He stopped it. He ensnared, stopped. He stopped by his word. He stopped the blessing from going to the wrong person. Does he love Esau? I mean, yes. He says he hates Esau, but did he love Isaac? He says, oh, no, wait a minute. I am the God of Isaac. A lot of good things. Isaac was a very good man. But he has his, quote, faults, weaknesses, like every one of us. And we have sometimes in our hearts a desire that God would do something. And maybe alter it if I just do something different. You can't alter Devarim Elohim. It doesn't work. What we have to do as people is look at what it says, accept what it says, and don't go off and thinking that it's abstract. I'll tell you, I'm using the word concrete, but I'm going to change my word now. It is actually truth. Thy word is truth.
Is that why Islamists today practice lie and deceit against Christians and Jews, because they lost the first game?
That's very obvious, right? I mean, to my mind it is, and maybe it isn't to you. Yes.
May I stick up for poor Isaac?
Poor Isaac?
I would like to stick up for poor
Isaac.
Go ahead,
stick for him. I have a problem with him.
I think he was kind of doing his job. You didn't bless the second born. So he's doing his job. Maybe he just figured God would
step in and take care of it. I don't know. I think I graduated to say, but yet sometimes there is a Esau's will not be a nation, will not be a country. Doesn't mean that every one of his sons and his everyone's did will not be part of life, but they will not have power or authority or government. They will have to answer. In fact, all the world, excuse me, will answer to all 12 tribes. You cannot, if you're not of the tribes, you will answer to them. They don't answer to you. Revelations, city of four squares. How many are there? 12 gates. You cannot enter that without their permission. Jeff.
Well, just on the comment on whether Isaac was just doing his duty, one thing to think of is that the excuse, I was just following customs, has never worked that well. So, just something to think about.
All right. I'm just about wrapped up here. Let's see. Yeah, okay. Nice to go in the next chapter. We can't, but we can't answer your question about what Rebecca was saying about what she was thinking in the very last verse. It probably the last few verses there that probably should have added or part of the 20 next chapter because a whole change of thought comes in there in that very last statement. It's fairly interesting, so she, verse 45, she says, "Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" I'm awful curious what that meant. What do you think it means?
That Jacob would be killed as well as Isaac dying.
He has to pay the death penalty for killing his brother. The only out he had was, you listen to me very carefully here, Esau was not going to kill his brother as long as who was alive. He could care less whether his mother was or not. He was not a mama's boy, I can put it this way, okay? All right. I hope I was able to, give you some thoughts and think about it. Next week, I hope to be able to cover 28 and 29. I cannot get 28 very short. But I'll try my very best to get 29th verse in there so we get a pattern in now. I'm going to slow it down just a little bit when it comes to Jacob, like I did slow it down real quickly for Abraham. That first part, I'll start slowing it down for Jacob so we get a picture. Now, everything that takes place in the book of Genesis is very, very extremely, what's the word I want to use? Prophetic. Yes. It tells you what his plan was, and how it's going to end, and the rest of it, this is the rest of the story.